You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio, for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, Russ, K5TUX, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello and welcome everyone. You have tuned in to episode number 537 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This episode of Linux in the Ham Shack is a deep dive episode. So thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Our topic for tonight is apparently another logger, because I think Bill is on a quest to find something he likes better than CQR log. We did a big deep dive on CQR log just a few episodes back, but Qlog has been around for a while, and it's apparently still being actively developed, so we're going to take a look at it tonight. But before we do that, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. For the on assignment Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
Very good, and since you are the one who is on a quest to find your logger of choice, which has been in the past and up until now apparently CQR log, but I kind of feel like you've found something to like about Qlog, so why don't you walk us through it?
Sure. Do you want to give us the intro to what Qlog is?
Oh, is this am I reading AI?
No, this is right off their wiki.
Okay. So it might only be a little terrible. Sure. Let's talk about what Qlog is. It's an amateur radio logging application for Linux, Windows, and Mac OS. It's based on the Qt framework and uses SQLite as a database backend. So no MySQL. Qlog aims to be as simple as possible, but to provide everything the operator expects from the log. This log is not currently focused on contests. So keep that in mind, I guess, if you're looking at this. It has several features that they've pointed out here, including a customizable GUI, rig control via hamlib, OmniRig for Windows, OmniRig V2 for Windows, and TCI. What the hell is TCI?
Not familiar with that.
Not either. Something we probably have to go look up. Rotator control via hamlib, hamqth and qrz.com callbook integration, DX clustering, logging to Logbook of the World, EQSL, qrz.com, clublog, hrdlog, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the different loggers. Secure password storage for all services with password or security token. Online and offline mapping. Club member lookup. Did you do anything with that?
No.
Okay. CW Keyer support. I know you did a little something with that. Bandmap, WSJTX integration, /JTDX integration. CW console, station location profile support, various station statistics, basic award support. Basic. Boo. Custom QSO filters, and for some reason they put in here no ads, no user tracking, no hidden telemetry, simply free and open source. And I'm going through my brain trying to figure out which of the open source logging programs aren't all of those, but okay. And it reiterates here that it has a SQLite backend. So no messing around with MariaDB on this one.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Because, you have a love-hate relationship with CQR log in that respect. But I know you've been using this for about a week or so. I've been, twiddling some knobs on it as well, although I will admit that I'm sort of stuck in my ways using Cloud Log. But it doesn't mean I won't explore something else. But since you've been diving into it pretty heavy, I guess I'll let you sort of walk us through the installation process, the setup process, and how you like it.
Sure. Yeah. So this logger, I did look at a long time ago when it was under its original GitHub repo, which has since been forked. The old repo looks like it stopped being updated about 4 years ago. And I kind of just kind of put it in the ignore list for that time. And then I was like, oh, let me go back and look at it and see if anybody's worked on it. Well, sure enough, if you search for it now and it goes to the new version or the forked Qlog here under Foldynl, their GitHub repo, and they're quite active on it. Latest update was last week, so lots of updates getting on this particular one. And when I went in to go find it on my software center, you know, add remove software inside of Manjaro, it was already pointed to this one from the AUR. So that was real easy for me to get it installed. I was able to just basically install it straight away with that. Otherwise, you can go in and clone the repo and you know, run through the build yourself. They do have some pre-built binaries as well. Let me just look at the release here. And
I want to say I did mine via PPA.
Yeah, you should probably be able to find a PPA. There's some RPM packages there as well. There's a DMG package, I guess, for Mac. And I don't know if it's for, is it for Mac, current Mac stuff, or is it running through Rosetta? It says Mac OS 12 and below. I think that would be the Intel Mac, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it might be a bit dated there, or at least run through the Rosetta translator or whatever for your Mac. But yeah, I installed it, and it actually looks pretty good. When you first bring it up, it wants you to run through all the settings. So if you don't have, well, it goes through, I mean, if you have problems installing it, it does give you a lot of information on how to install it. And there is a really good informational wiki that they have built into the GitHub page. So I highly recommend going through that to get your particular system's settings so you can get it installed easily. Obviously, if there's a PPA for it, that's super easy because it'll bring in all the requirements and stuff like that if you're a Debian or Ubuntu user or variant thereof. But when you launch it, it brings up the system settings, wants you to go ahead and set up your station information, and they do use profiles. And of course, these profiles are important if you operate from multiple locations. I believe we talked about that with CQR Log. They also have a sense of profiles as well. This simplifies you being able to do this. So I set up my my home QTH profile with username, profile name, call sign, operator name, location, grid square, VUCC. If you happen to be in a SOTA, it has a SOTA listing, a POTA listing, an IOTA listing, SIGINFO, SIG, and a WW, was that FF? Can't read it. Yeah, WWFF. Worldwide, what does that mean? Worldwide flora and fauna. SIG, I have no idea what that means. So anyway, you can set it up pretty custom. It does sync to the POTA list. So I saw that when I first launched it because it goes through and wants to update all the DXCC records. And one of those things was an IOTA list, a POTA list. And I don't know if it had the SOTA list brought in or not. I can't remember that one specifically, but I thought it was interesting that it did bring in the POTA list. So that should be interesting down the road when they start tracking directly POTA stuff inside of the stats. The next tab over will be where you set up all your equipment. One of the things that you can set up is which antenna you're using. Not really necessary to have that, but if you want to set up your current antenna for your home, so if you say, oh, I made this contact on a beam or I made this one on my wire, you can actually specify that within that as a profile for your antenna. CW keyers, you have a tab for that, and you also can set up either a dummy CW. So like you can have fake CW. I don't know how that would help you out, but you can also connect with Morse over Cat, a WinKeyer V2, CW Daemon, and FL Digi. I'm using the WinKeyer V2 with my particular key, and I also have that set up, and you can have that set up as a profile as well. So you can have multiple ways and multiple keys set up within the context of the application, which is pretty slick. Rigs, same way. Profile name. So I have the profile name on my rig set up as the rig name itself. So you can set up multiple rigs, multiple connections, hamlib. TCI is the transceiver control interface from Expert Electronics. I've never used it before, but maybe some others are familiar with that. That is an option as well inside of Linux. Pretty much standard stuff here. You can set the TX range of the particular radio that you're using. So I did set mine to go to 70 centimeters because the 7100 goes up to 70 centimeters. Default power settings. You can have it set up to your assigned CW keyer. So if you had different keyers for each rig, that's where you would go ahead and click and say, hey, yeah, I want to do the my home QTH. Windkeer. Sorry, I'm still suffering from a little coffee. And then you can set up different options for your rig features, whether you want to track frequency, power, TX offset, if you want the DX spots to go to your rig. And that's a checkbox I missed on mine, so I'm going to set mine back up again. I was just noticing that the DX things weren't setting my rig stat. Anyway, pole rate, pole interval, all basic stuff that we have in rig control, nothing special there. You can also set up multiple rotators as well with the same setup using Hamlib, again, to connect to your rotator device. That'll connect via serial or network, depending upon if you're using rod control D or whatever that is, versus just connecting directly. And there's also user buttons profiles. I'm not sure what that particular is for. I think maybe that's for setting up which buttons you want to map to which directions and stuff like that on your keyboard. So I haven't set any of that stuff because I don't have a rotator on my vertical. Be kind of useless. call book settings as a next tab over. And this is where you can set up your primary and secondary lookups. And they have both QRZ.com and HamQTH. So you can set both of those up, including it has an ability to have a web lookup button. So if you want to just look it up on the web, it has a predefined lookup call using QRZ, and you can just type that in. If you wanted to use something else there, let's say even what is the other one? HamDB, something like that. HamDB.
There is a HamDB, yes.
Yeah, so you could probably set that up as like an ad hoc web lookup one as well. So, and it has a test button there, so you can ensure that your link and URL works. So so that is pretty slick. The club settings is for selecting individual clubs that you're an active member on. These are, I guess, just bigger clubs, you know, something like the NAQCC, FISTS, BCC, First Class Operators, CW Ops, stuff like that. If you select those, it just basically, you know, has you on that list. I'm not sure exactly what the interaction is with that. Obviously, I think that was mentioned in one of the features, the club stuff, but I really haven't gotten into using that myself. The next tab is for syncing your log to other places. Club log, EQSL, HRD log, Logbook of the World, and QRZ.com are all supported, and they are pretty easy to set up. Chat, they have a chat settings here. If you are connecting to ON4KST, I believe that's for like VHF chat or something like that. It might even be for satellites. I can't remember specifically. But it has a username and password setting for that if you happen to want to have that directly in your log as well. So it'll connect to that and some other chat programs or chat servers as well. Band settings, if you want to have certain bands disabled or enabled, it has pretty much everything from 2190 meters all the way up to sub-millimeters or whatever that is, micrometers. So 30 gigahertz or something, whatever. Modes, if you have certain modes that you want to have active, inactive, it has 43 modes listed in there. And if you want to have how the default report looks like, you can have that set up as well. Next tab is DXCC, and this would be for your DXCC tracking. And you can have it use a specific start date if you're wanting to use it for only a certain number of your contacts or whatever. You'd have that. And then the networking is where you're going to set up any type of connections to WSJTX. Mine is connected via multicast, so I have the multicast address in there and the checkbox set for join multicast, and also has stuff for DXSet spots, spot alerts, QSO changes, and WSJTX QSO spots or CQ spots. So all those can be set up as specific locations of where QLog needs to send UDP notification packets and stuff like that. So if you're sending your log from QLog to somewhere else, those are going to be important in the notifications section. So once you have all that done, you just hit the good old save button, and you are back to the main screen, which by default, I believe, shows the time on the upper right, and then a map on your lower right, and then the log and log entry screen will be on your left. And if you're brand new, you don't have any log in there, and this is when you can take advantage of going up to the top here and going to the logbook. and clicking the import button. And from here, you can import ADIFs or ADX files. You can import specific date ranges. You can set which QTH profile it needs to go to, which rig profile it belongs with. And you can also have it update and recalculate any DXCC NCD information from those particular contacts at the same time. During the import, it will detect any type of duplications and stuff like that. So it'll prompt you for those as it runs through. So you can make adjustments as needed to your log as you import it, should your old logger program have any dupes and stuff like that. It's pretty quick and performant. It brought in, I don't know, I think I had like 8,000 contacts in mine, so it brought it in pretty quick. I didn't have to wait too long to get to see my entire log show up on my screen. Other things that you can do within the context of the logbook dropdown, new contact, save contact, you can set up QSO filters, you can do a manual entry, import and export. Awards, it has, like they said, they have some basic award tracking. We were kind of looking around at that the other day. DXCC, ITU tracking, worked all continents, worked all zones, worked all states, WPX and IOTA is what they're currently tracked. So that should give you an indication of what it can do. You can also have it only look for confirmations via Logbook of the World, EQSL and paper, or all three. And also you can look at all modes or select modes and stuff like that. The display is pretty nice. It does have the ability to run in light mode and dark mode. There is a toggle switch at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. So it is a, I'm running mine in dark mode right now, and I believe I did post a couple of screenshots in the technical chat channel if you want to check those out and see what it kind of looks like. But the awards program is basic, but it's enough for most people. The service dropdown gets you into specific club log, EQSL, HRD log, logbook of the world, and QRZ.com. And this is where if you want to send your log, send logs that you haven't sent yet or what have you, this is where you'll basically be doing that. I've done the logbook of the world because I don't do the others frequently, so I don't trust uploading all of my log to them at this point. The logbook of the world just worked off the get-go. I didn't have to set up anything else, so that's really nice. It must use like an individual push, so it doesn't bring up the separate, you know, have to sign and do all this other stuff. I believe it just uses the login and shoves the entries in one by one, much like Grid Tracker does. So it's quite simple and easy. The equipment drop down is the next one, and this is where you'll set to connect to your rig, connect to CW keyer, connect to your rotator. You can have those unconnected when the logger comes in, or you can have it connect on startup. It's all up to you whether you decide to do that or not. Next will be like your screen customization, what stuff you want to show up in the logger. So it's the window button or the window drop down. And this is where you have the band map, the clock, the chat, which will expose that ON4 KST chat. So then they have the various rooms that the ON4 KST chat provides, including like the 6 meter room, the 2 meter 440 room, microwave, EME, low band, so on and so forth. I don't do those, so not connected to that. The CW console, once you're connected to your CW keyer, what have you, it brings up the console, which shows you basically a typing screen that you can type whatever you want to type. You just type it, press send, and it'll just start sending it. And then it'll show you what it's sending in a log on the top, and then a little box that shows what you're sending as it's being sent. So that's kind of slick. The DX cluster, pretty straightforward, connects to the cluster. If you enabled the connect the cluster to your rig, when you double click something on the cluster, it not only will bring the call sign and everything else over, it'll actually switch your rig into that mode and frequency. And as well, the online map will show you the line between the station and you. So that's pretty slick. The online map also works well with JTDX and WSJTX. As your contacts are occurring, it'll actually draw a line from your location to the person you're communicating with as well. It does have another map as an option, which is basically like a gray line map. I don't really use that. It's a little too noisy to have all those maps up. The rig basically gives you your rig if you wanted to have that as a separate item. Let's see here. What else? Rotator and WSJTX. The WSJTX is basically like a call roster of everything that's being heard from JTDX or WSJTX. Depends on whichever one you're running. And then it'll also do highlights based upon your log status on the contact as well. So if it's something you need, it'll highlight it, and you can work it that way. I don't use that in my workflow, so it'd be almost like using the callable roster as well in grid tracker, except for some people use that, like Russ does.
Oh, were you waiting for me to comment?
No, I was taking a drink. And then it has the ability to save your layout as if you have a custom arrangement or whatever on the screen, you can do that. It does provide this all in like one single window. I don't know. Can you drag this stuff out? Oh, you can drag it out too. And you can drag the windows and the sections around a little bit. Now I've hidden something and I don't know where it went.
Oh no, it's gone.
I lost my clock. Oh, there's my clock. Okay, good. And you can actually put everything inside of tabs too, which is actually kind of nice. I just figured that out too. So you can have all the little extra things as tabs in your interface, or you can break them out and have them independently. So it is quite flexible in how the screen looks. You can really customize it quite a bit. I'm still not to the point yet where I'm playing with that with any extent, except for just, you know, looking at the map and having the WSJTX logger running. And then, of course, the clock is showing. So because I just like looking at Zulu time the entire time I'm on my log. A couple of just, you know, nice things. The fonts all look really nice. They're all very legible beside each call sign. If it's it has its little DXCC flag icon next to it, so you can kind of just at a glance see the countries and stuff like that in your log. If you go into your log itself and double click on one of your QSOs that you had, you can actually go in and look at the QSO detail of this. And it gives a really nice little display of the QSO information for a call sign. I'm just looking at PR1T here from the contest, and it brings up the log time on and off, what frequency and whatnot, but also shows them maps and where they're at and drops a pin right on them and zooms down into their location. So that's kind of a neat little thing. And if it was related to a contest, it actually does have the contest information on there. So if I switch over to the contest tab, I can see that it says that it was part of the ARRLDX single sideband contest and what my exchange was received and when I sent. So it does sort of have contest support in the fact that it will import and digest all of those log items from your contest logger. I use not 1MM, having to use a different logger for a contest is not something unknown to me. So I prefer having a specific logger for the contest anyway. QSL thing is on there too, in case you wanted to do a paper QSL or something like that, or track it independently of it. Mine I already sent out for Logbook of the World, and it shows that I did send it out. So if you had other statuses there, it would also show all those other statuses. And the DXCC tab on that contact would show whether I've worked that country before and what modes and stuff like that, so I can get a quick glance at my performance or, you know, activity to that area. So yeah, quite good information, and the visuals are really nice and definitely way more updated than CQR log. Obviously, with being in using the Qt library, it has a lot of chops for doing UI stuff. So it's no surprise to me that it does have, like, the visuals are definitely a lot better. I was able to get my log up and running And as soon as I had, you know, WSJTX connected, you know, I could see that stuff instantly. I went and did one contact and the log came right in from JTDX. And yeah, so I was quite happy with it right out of the gate, because everything had just kind of just worked for me. Russ can probably talk a little bit about his experience using it, and then we can go back, and people have any questions, we can definitely answer some of those as you present them.
Well, my experience is I haven't really gotten too deep into it. I did play around with adding some of the, you know, I guess you'd call them widgets, for like the DX cluster and rig control and various things. The interface is pretty nice. I didn't see the thing about tabbing. That would actually be better than the way it is now for me anyway. So I'm going to look at that for sure. I do see that. Well, I'm not sure if it's an issue with the fact that I'm running this remotely, but for some reason it's not connecting to my rig, so it's not populating all the rig data for right now, which doesn't really make any sense, but it is what it is. But the interface looks nice. It's a lot cleaner and a little more Web 2.0 than CQR log for sure. It actually has like some color, and of course being able to switch it into dark mode is a huge plus for me. Looking at the log window of QSOs is really nice. The award tracking is well done. I like the sort of check square look. It gives you a real easy look at your DXCC and WAS and all that kind of stuff. You mentioned that it had POTA in it. Is like part of like configuring your station for POTA, I guess.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really do anything else with POTA as far as like seeing what parks and stuff are. I noticed that in some recent update, Grid Tracker actually tracks online parks, presumably using API calls to POTA.app. So you can see online parks in on your map, which is kind of cool. Overall, this is way better than CQR log. I did not get it to sync up with JTDX, which it should actually be. So what window would I have to open to see that?
The one that says WSJTX.
Oh, that one. Yeah. You are so smart. let's see. Yeah, I don't think I have JTDX actually monitoring right now, but I guess it would show up in that window if it was. It would show a list like a call roster, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, and if you look at the chat, I just popped a picture of mine right now with it showing. And you can see that my clock is tabbed in with the WSJTX thing as well. The clock is currently hidden. If you drag those windows around, you can see how it kind of plays. It's not terribly intuitive, but it does work. And then you can always kill them and then bring them back and then rebuild it once you get your setup the way you like it.
Yeah, so this again is like a logger that's trying to do a lot more stuff than just being a logger, which I definitely appreciate. I like the fact that it links with online logging applications, that it hooks into rig control and all that kind of stuff. It does make things a lot easier. The layout is pretty good. The fact that it is modular and you can configure it sort of the way you like, I do like that. Overall, it's pretty good. It's not going to drag me away from CloudLog. I doubt that anything will. but if I was coming into using a self-hosted logging application like on my local machine, as opposed to something that is instantiated in a cloud instance, I could definitely see using this. I think it needs some enhancements, better award tracking maybe, some better integration with POTA, SOTA, IOTA, stuff like that. But overall, yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, the key fields, you know, like your call sign, the RSTs and stuff like that are all sort of made nice and prominent. And I think as far as configuration, like startup and all that, it's very user-friendly. So, I could definitely see using this. I mean, I have been using it sort of secondarily just to test it out, but I like it. You know, just because I said I hated it doesn't mean I hate it.
it's definitely not cloud log, right?
When I say I hate a logger, it means it's not as good as cloud log. that's all it means. So yeah. It's just different. And I've already sort of established cloud log as my authoritative log. So switching to something else would take some serious doing at this point. I like the flexibility of having the log in the cloud, so I can get it to it from anywhere. That's the one thing that sort of sells it as a logger over everything else, or all these sort of standalone, you know, self-hosted instances. So, but yeah, I mean, for what it is, I'd say it's the best one I've seen. Certainly better than CQR Login, Xlogin, and all the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, like, visually, I think, like, Klog would probably come the closest, although I've had many weird issues with Klog. But you know, I haven't used this log enough really to experience any weird issues. I mean, I used Klog in one day and ran into weird issues, but it could have been just my use case. I was trying to merge a bunch of logs that were overlapped each other, so it probably surely didn't like that. But yeah, I didn't have any problems at all using this, getting it started. I found that, yeah, like I said, it was pretty quick and easy to kind of get things going, and I didn't have to go look up like how to do something and stuff like that. You know, if you have to hit the user manual or the wiki page, and you're in trouble, right? So this didn't really require any of that, and all the buttons that you kind of need are visible and present where they should be, so you're not trying to find stuff. A couple of things, like interacting with, like I say, the DX cluster. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of slick. You can, double click on a call sign on it. It will, again, bring that over for you. It'll tune the rig if you have that set up. And it'll also bring up the band map showing other calls and other stations working each other within the same band. So that's kind of nice. And if you look at the screen that I posted a few minutes ago, you know, it shows the band map of calls and stuff like that around that area. So that's kind of a neat feature for people hunting things, whether that be DX or whatever. I'm running out of things to say about it, because I didn't run into anything bad that I want to talk about. And it's not as deep as the configuration on CQR log. You have to kind of go in and do lots of little stuff here and there and everywhere and stuff like that. And I thought the setup on this was quite simple, and it was organized in a way that made sense. Like a few of the things I'm not quite sure about, like the club stuff. And, having seen the POTA syncing, you know, I have indication, at least by that something else is probably going to happen with the POTA integration. I don't see any items in their issue list specifically with that, but I'm sure if you put one in there, you can get feedback. And it definitely looks like the author is going through these and, yeah, including finding ones himself or herself. I don't know who this person is, so maybe I'll have to reach out and find out. It's definitely a he. I can see the picture. So, yeah, they're also going through. It looks like they're a Windows user, because they're finding at least the Windows stuff crashing, like the OmniRig V2 Qlog crashes on it right now. So he's working on a bug with that. But yeah, this is all, you know, all being handled and actively developed. In fact, that bug there, he fixed in a special installer for it. So yeah, this is really cool to see something being actively maintained. This is definitely something, if, you know, you're interested in, you know, getting involved in open source too. I mean, this is a way to start with issues and trying to help, you know, fork it, patch it, and, you know, submit a pull request to fix stuff. This would be a great activity for someone that wants to use a logger and also wants to get involved in open source. It's a GPL V3 license. So, yeah, great project, and definitely is something I'm going to be using for a little while until I get, you know, drawn to the dark side for web blogging. I'm not quite there yet, but I might do an instance of the other for the K2VSA's next jamboree. So we'll see. But for now, I think this is a great logging application. Qlog, the amateur radio logging application for Linux, Windows, and Mac OS. So, any questions from the chat room or anything else, Russ, that you can think of that we didn't go over with this particular one? I know it's probably quicker than normal, but that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about it, is there isn't really a lot to discuss. It's especially nice that coming to it sort of blind, even for someone who's, you know, pretty well versed in Linux and applications and loggers and so on and so forth, it's really easy to dive right into. Not a lot of messing around. Everything's laid out well. And I think for even a novice user, it'd be really easy to set up. All of the back-end stuff, like the database configuration and all that, is hidden. You don't have to mess with it. And, I total props for the dark mode thing. I didn't see the slider. You had to point it out to me. It would might be nice if it was a little more prominent, or if there was also a menu toggle, just so you knew it was a sort of a thing, because I kind of live my life in dark mode, now that that's a thing. So, yeah. And it does have a lot of, it does have a lot of network integrations. It has your multicast. It has your UDP pushes. It has your logger integrations. And it actually looks good. I mean, it's pleasing to interact with. So it really hits all the highlights. And if I was looking for something to do as a logger, I mean, not having tried every logger in the world, it's hard to say this is the best one, but I would probably land here for sure. And I will say that when I searched for Qlog on Google search, it wasn't the first hit. There's apparently something else called Qlog.
Oh, yeah.
That isn't this, but just find the GitHub link. That'll get you where you need to go.
Cool. Well, that's all I have for this particular application and this deep dive. So unless we get any questions. Yes. Tom asked if it was a Mac OS too. And I said, yes, Mac OS. Since I'm a CW guy, which is better for CW contesting? CQR log or this one? Well, for contesting, I use not 1mm. So that's what I use. And I use the PyWinKeyer Not 1mm supports, and it's also by the same author who happens.
One thing you need to understand, Tom, is that Bill doesn't actually operate if he can avoid it.
Yeah.
Even when he's operating.
Yes. Yeah, you use the easy mode, right? The buttons and the F keys and everything else, which I'm drawing you to that dark side too, right? Your voice gear stuff set up now. You'll never talk in the microphone again.
Well, at least it simplifies my POTA operation a little bit. So
yeah. Yeah. You can definitely run not 1mm on Mac because it's Python.
Yeah, that's the great thing about things that are written in Python. Anywhere you can run Python, which as far as I know is anywhere, you can run it.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Steve's talking about his YFK log and YFK test when he does contesting. And yeah, I haven't used YFK log. I think I looked at it years and years and years ago. So maybe we'll look at that one next. We'll see.
I never used YFK log for standard logging, although we did explore it on this show way back in the deep dark past. In the early days of my doing any contesting, I did use YFK test for that because it was very simple. And of course, it's a curses based logger. So didn't require a graphical interface or anything.
Yeah, I'm not going there again. Curses. Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, there's still a place for curses, because if you want to run something really super lightweight that doesn't require a DE or anything like that, I mean, curses is the way to go. You run it inside a terminal. And the funny thing about, like, not 1mm is I think not 1mm sort of evolved from the Winter Field Day logger, which was originally curses based, and then got promoted to using a windowing framework. But the applications still kind of look like the original curses versions. Mike can yell at me if I said that wrong. But
yeah, I was about to say the author is here and present, so yeah, I use that one.
That'd be right.
Yeah, it's been a solid contest logger. I have to give major props to that. It's definitely, I'm never going back. I'm not using the other N1mm thing again.
the thing that's not 1mm.
Yeah, that's not 1mm. Yes, exactly. Works for me, except for Riddy. Yeah, I don't know. They got to figure that out. Got to be something that can work.
All right. Very good. Well, lots of good interaction here. Hope you all get a chance to at least take a look at Qlog, see if it's something that would work for your workflow, your authoritative logger, perhaps. I mean, since everything's really tossed around in ADI or ADX format at this point, you can logger hop just like you distro hop, because all you have to do is dump the data, into it. So, and I think that's what Bill's been doing.
Absolutely.
I keep my login 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 different places. It's in Logbook of the World, Cloud Log, EQSL, Club Log, and Grid Tracker. Yeah, so 5 different places I have my log.
Definitely backed up.
Yep. All right. Well, that brings us down to the end of the topic for tonight. So we'll move on to our other stuffs, which is announcements and feedback. Haven't had a lot of feedback lately, so if anybody wants to send us some, feel free. We'd love to hear from you all. We do get a lot of feedback during the show, but that doesn't really give us a lot to talk about in the feedback segment. But we do have an announcement, and that, of course, is the ham-mentioned GoFundMe, still live. Only $50 to go, and then we're done. So thanks to everybody who's donated so far. And if you have a couple of dollars kicking around in your pocket, feel free to send it our way. And whether you do or don't, please share everywhere you can share it. We appreciate it. And with any luck, another week or two, we'll be able to shut it down. And then we'll just hang out and wait to see everybody in Ohio.
Woot.
Woot, woot. And then we have our new subscribers, supporters, and live participants. So for this week, we have Claudio Cordelio on Facebook. On YouTube, we had Apostolos Mystikis and Larry, KC3ROS. On Discord, we have SA2NTA Krista, who lives in northern Sweden and has a cool call sign. Then we also had Lewis, AJ, well, I'm going to assume that's Adjison, and G1VIF Carl, who joined during the program. So, welcome. On Instagram, we have Gianluca Tedoldi, or something like that. And on the mailing list, somebody who signed up with the email address lhspodcast.eagle417@something-something-something, whatever that is. So apparently that's a one-off mailbox, I'm guessing. And if the 417 is an area code, they're apparently local. And then in the live chat, we had quite a lively group tonight. We had Tony, K4XSS, Jill, K1TTZ, Joel, KC0YEW, Mike, K6GTE, Ted, WA0EIR, Tom, N4HAI, Hal 9000, Steve, KJ5T, Adam, K3CAN, Winston, KD2WLL, and Darren, VK6EK. And Joel says he just completed our fundraiser. So it's over, folks. Go back about your business. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Anyway, yeah, that brings us down to the end of the show. This has been our episode, a deep dive into Qlog. We really appreciate you being here. Thanks to everybody who donated to the Hamvention Fund. We'll see you all in Xenia in May. And in the meantime, have a great week. We'll let you go get to whatever it was you were doing before you started listening to us. And we hope you'll join us in a week's time for our next episode, which will be a short topics episode. So take care, everyone, and we'll talk to you all soon. This has been episode number 537 of Linux in the Ham Shack. For the On Assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1-909-547-7469. That's 1-909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.